I didn't realize National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day. It is officially Mason Day in America. Popeyes, look out. Here I come.
Yeah, Popeyes is still not as good as Chick-fil-A.
Oh, come on. Come on. I don't even think you've had Popeyes.
I have, only once, but I eat Chick-fil-A regularly.
Swear that you've had Popeyes.
One time.
Where would John Ireland get Popeyes?
There's in New Orleans. In New Orleans, right by the hotel.
Okay, so you've had the Popeyes fried chicken sandwich, the
yeah,
spicy
it's good.
Chicken sandwich.
It's good.
It's better than Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Want to hear something about Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, sure.
Overrated. Not very,
very
good.
Overrated.
Not very,
very
good.
Very overrated.
Not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not either.
That's okay. We don't need you. The line at Chick-fil-A is long enough.
Yeah, perfect.
No, I think Chick-fil-A way overrated.
And guess what Jorge had today?
What?
Jorge? Oh, he doesn't have his headphones on yet. Just give him a second.
Can we get the
McRib today
when the show starts?
McRib.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, God, that is such an awful, awful piece
processed
of
processed pork
food.
In my belly.
Oh.
That's a drop.
Yeah, you got to cut it, too.
So, Lakers do win last night. They beat Charlotte 126-123
in overtime. What a weird game this was.
It was. They snapped a two-game winning streak. They're now 6-5.
Well, they snapped a two-game losing streak. Snap a winning streak.
Yeah. No, it didn't snap a winning streak. It snapped a losing streak. And Melo was just insane again. 7 of 10 from three. It was a big Melo Monday. He is now 38 for 59 from three at Staples Center. That is 64%. And the crowd, John, I haven't been there for one of those big Melo nights, but the crowd sounds like they're really into it with Melo.
Well, he doesn't even need to score. He just gets off the bench and goes to the table, and the crowd goes crazy. And, you know, when you shoot 64% from three at home, that's why. But they wouldn't have won that game without him. They wouldn't. I mean, all the Lakers' big stars showed up. Westbrook had a triple-double. Anthony Davis was big, especially defensively. He had five blocks. He also had 32 points and 12 rebounds. I mean, they needed all of it, too. Matter of fact, Mace, there was a shot at the end of the half, the first half, that Malik Monk just threw in.
From half court.
If he doesn't make that, the game doesn't even go overtime.
Right. Well, they made some stupid mistakes. First of all, can we talk about Westbrook a little bit?
Sure.
Four turnovers in the fourth quarter. He has now missed 37 shots from the restricted zone this year. Missed 39 shots from the restricted zone this year, area at the basket. He just has not – I mean, I know it's a triple-double, all that stuff, but if you go inside those numbers, he has not played very well.
Well, he had 14 assists last night. He puts tremendous amounts of pressure on the other team.
Right, but four turnovers in the fourth quarter.
But you would take 14 assists with four turnovers anytime you want. You know, I mean, 14
assists.
Well,
he had seven
huge.
In the game.
Right, but I mean, if you're
he
plus
leads the
seven,
league in turnovers.
If your assist to turnover ratio is plus seven, you're okay with that. Now, if he would have had seven turnovers and two assists, then you got a problem. But
why does he miss so many layups? Why does he go to the rack so often and miss the layup?
Because he flies to the rim as fast as he can and tries to draw fouls. And he doesn't always get those calls. But when he makes them, I mean, they wouldn't have won that game without him. They wouldn't have won. I mean, the big three for them last night was Melo, Westbrook, and AD. Without them, they were dead. And
not worried when Westbrook has the ball at the end of the game?
But he rarely shoots it.
Well, he rarely.
No, but he's turning it over.
Well, he also had 2 3-pointers that was to win games that he's missed. He takes a shot at the end of the game.
Right, but he didn't do that last night.
No, but other games he has. I just feel like he's a guy that he's not fitting in very well just yet. Now, he might, but he is dangerous with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Like, he turns it over a lot.
You know, the other thing, John, and you could speak, we got a veteran team, right? We got a very veteran team. Lakers not smart down the stretch in regulation. You know, LaMelo was fouled. Vogel tried to call the timeout. It wasn't granted. Then you wind up with two technicals. LaMelo winds up shooting 5 free throws.
Yeah, never seen that happen before, ever.
They let Mason Plumlee have that little jump hook near the end of the game. Could have fouled him. He's shooting like 19% from the free throw line. Instead, they gave him a clean shot. Closing seconds of the game, they had a foul to give. But instead, they allowed Cody Martin to get a decent look at a 3-point attempt, which would have won the game. You know, I expect more in terms of composure from a veteran team down the stretch. Those are dumb mistakes.
Well, let's talk about the when Vogel tried to use the challenge and they said they'd already given the ball to LaMelo to shoot the free throw.
Right.
He hadn't shot it yet.
But is that a rule that once you blow the whistle and give the ball to the
No, you can blow the whistle
shooter?
Whenever you want. But here's the thing. Very, very rarely will officials reverse calls. So once
right.
they tell you that that's the call, you might as well just live with it. That took the lead from 8-4 or from 9-4. And, you know, when he made all those free throws and then they were able to come back and tie it. It was actually a really fun game to work, but it was weird in that Charlotte just kept coming. By the way, I've only felt this way once before about a 20-year-old watching LaMelo play.
He's a superstar.
I think he's going to win an MVP one day. The only other time I felt that way was watching Luka. And you'd have to go back to the 80s when Magic was 20, when you would look at a guy and go, okay, that guy for sure is going to win an MVP. But LaMelo Ball
is
So
you think
really,
he's going to
really
win
good.
An MVP?
I do.
Wow.
I mean,
I think he's going to be an all-star. I think he's going to be first-team all-NBA someday. An MVP, big time.
All right, so here was his line last night. 25 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists.
Yep.
He's the youngest player ever in NBA history to go 25, 15, and 10.
And he last year he became the youngest player ever to even have a triple-double at 19.
And he doesn't even look like he's exerting maximum effort. He's just really, really good.
You know, I know his numbers very intimately because I took him high in my fantasy basketball
last night
league.
He was probably a big big reason why you played, why your team had a good night.
If it, big
I mean,
boost.
Did you get a point for all that stuff?
Point for everything. Every column that you mentioned, I get points for.
Yeah, so
he's
a
machine.
Yeah, he was just a stat monster. But you know, the bottom line is, I've said pretty consistently, I think they're going to be 10-10 after 20 games. So you just get these wins any way you can, particularly without LeBron. When you don't have LeBron, any game you win is a bonus because the whole team's built around LeBron.
Ireland, why are they not getting back on defense?
Well,
consistently not getting back. They're getting out-rebounded, and especially they're getting out-rebounded and giving up a lot of second-chance points. They're just not getting back on defense.
Well, they didn't last night. They only gave up 11 second-chance points last night. I mean, and they had seven.
They gave up like 12 offensive rebounds.
Right, but those are two different things. I mean, if you ask me why are they not getting back on defense, if they're only getting, they got 24 fast break points last night, the Hornets did, and the Lakers had 21. You'll live with that. You'll live with -3. The weird thing is, even though the Lakers are big, like a lot of the game last night, they had AD out there with either
DeAndre Jordan or
Dwight Howard played 15 minutes. DeAndre Jordan played 10. So half the game they had, you know, big guys out there. Even though they're big, they haven't played very big. Like
right.
points in the paint last night, Charlotte was +8. You mentioned the rebounding, 43-41 Charlotte. Offensive rebounds were 14-8. It was 55-51 Charlotte on the rebounds. I'm surprised they don't play bigger, but again, I'll take a win anytime early in the season without LeBron.
Well, yeah, you got to put wins in the bank.
I think anytime LeBron doesn't play, they have a decent chance of losing. And last night they didn't lose. Now tomorrow is going to be really hard.
Yeah, tomorrow night
Miami's coming
really
in,
good.
And Miami's really good.
Yeah, they're 7-3. So LeBron, is there any update on LeBron?
Zero.
Has anybody said anything about LeBron?
Zero. Matter of fact, they asked Frank Vogel that exact question. He said, "I have no update, none."
Interesting.
So I think what Bill Oram wrote earlier in the week is, you know, that it could be much longer
than a week. When would be a week? A week would be after this Miami game, right?
Right, Thursday.
They said he'd be gone at least a week. 1 week would be the Miami game.
Right. And so they took him off the board the Friday before the Portland game, and they have a Friday night game this week against Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
So there's no indication that he's close to coming back, but they could just announce one day that he is.
Oh, sure. You know, the guy I've started to really – and, you know, Frank Vogel obviously has great trust in this guy. There were a number of situations last night late in the game, a couple of situations late in the game, where they took Ellington out and put Austin Reeves in. Frank Vogel obviously has a great deal of trust in Austin Reeves, particularly on defense. He played 27 minutes. That's more than everybody except Westbrook and Carmelo and AD.
Right, and the second most off the bench behind Melo. They like him a lot. And undrafted, Mace, that's the amazing thing. Anybody could have had him. It was not drafted in the draft after he played 2 years at Wichita State, then he played 2 years at Oklahoma, and Rob Pelinka just found him out there and available and signed him, and now he's a major part of your rotation. So good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, you know what I did last night?
Did you get stoned?
Well, yeah, I did that.
Okay.
But I also won $30,000 in mythical money.
Yeah, I kept looking up. Every time I looked up, you won something else.
I had 20 grand on the Bears and Steelers over the 39.5. They went way over. And I had 10K on the Lakers minus 2.5. They ended up salvaging that in overtime. $30,000 puts me in a strong second place position in mythical money. I got 126. Bergman's got 137. Jorge, 116. And poor little Ireland there. Playing his little $2,500 parlays.
Yeah, I gotta start making more bets. I've been so underwater. I mean, this every other day Laker game. I haven't had time to look at any bets, but I'll bet some this weekend.
And bet some real money. Don't bet this little nickel dime.
But the only way I can catch you guys is if I get a big payout. So that's why I'm playing the parlays. I'll be fine. I'll be there in the end.
Right, but if you would have taken one of those bets, like you had one time you had Miami, Houston, and the Jets. Like, let's say one of those teams lost, you lose the entire parlay.
Correct.
But you could have won like 20K on Houston and the Jets.
Only if I bet 20K.
Right.
But no, but
no,
here's 10K, the thing,
10K,
Greg.
10K.
If I bet 5K and I hit the three, I get 30K, and then I'm right back in it. So, I mean, I'll figure it out. I've never finished last.
Yeah, you did.
Parlays.
You finished last a couple years ago when we did
this. No, I finished second to you. You remember? You don't.
No, you lost. You lost that bet.
Bergman won.
Yeah, I won, and you came in last. I actually have it here. I can actually.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. Because had I won that bet, I would have beat you.
Right.
Because I had some absurd 16 parlay for all the money I had.
Yeah, and you lost.
Playing his little
$2,500
parlays. Hang on. Jorge played that. Playing his little $2,500 parlays.
Yeah, I do have to bet more than $2,500. I think I gotta step it up and like to what Bergman? You've got like 140.
I got 137. Yeah,
and I got 70. Yeah, so I gotta double up.
You gotta bet for real, man.
Or I just gotta find a game I really like and bet it all.
Jorge's still alive. Although, in the survivor pool, Jorge, have you looked ahead? Do you have any idea what your game's going to be?
Yeah, I got a few I'm looking at.
There's only 7 people left. Jorge could win all the money. Now, my question is, since I paid for Jorge's admission,
right,
do I get half if he
wait,
wins?
Wait, did you pay for him or did I pay for
him?
I
paid for Jorge.
Who did I pay for?
You paid for me, I think.
Yeah, you
no,
paid,
wait,
for
I paid for
Bergman, and you
we
paid
each
for
paid
Mike.
For No, we each paid for 3 people.
You paid Bergman. You played for Michael. And you played for Myrna.
I said, yeah.
And I had Leo, my mom, and Jorge.
Okay, yeah, because we each sent in $100.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah,
Jorge, do I get half if you win?
No, you don't get half, but I think Jorge, he should get
a McRib.
Okay. You know, that's interesting you should bring this up. We were talking today, like, what is appropriate when to share your love? Like, tell me what you guys think.
Okay.
So, my house next door sold last year for a bunch of money.
A neighbor.
Okay, and so right when our neighbors, who had been there for like 20 years, went on sale, or put their house on sale, Lisa, my wife, said to them, hey, I've got one of my tennis friends who loves this neighborhood. Can I get her in to see your house before it goes on the market?
Oh, nice.
And they said, sure. And so Lisa's friend went in, saw the house the day before, and paid full price for it.
Wow.
So Lisa saved them. We figured
all the commission fees.
Like, we figured, and it was a big sale, so we figured saved them, I don't know, $75,000 to $100,000. Should they have given us something?
A finder's fee.
Yes, they should have.
We didn't
they
ask for anything.
Probably should have. Right, although, so you guys are all rich there. What
okay,
are you
so here's
just
what we got.
Money around?
Here's what we got. This was a really weird thing.
Okay.
It's too bad it's your lie today, because everybody would think I'm making this up.
Okay.
But this is true. One day, like a night before we're ready to go on vacation for a week.
Yep.
get a knock on the door, mm-hmm. and somebody drops off a styrofoam cooler at our front door.
Okay.
And walks away, a delivery person.
Okay.
They sent us a lobster gram.
Mmm. That is something you will only see in Manhattan Beach.
But what's weird is, isn't that a weird gift to give someone unannounced?
Well, lobster's pretty good, right?
Right, but like we couldn't keep it for a week, so we were going out to dinner that night, so we canceled the dinner and made them that night because we figured we'd better jump on them when they were fresh.
But you don't have a freezer?
No, but could I have frozen them for 8 days?
I'm sure you could have.
Once it's
lobster,
frozen,
that's
it's frozen.
That's what you do. You freeze fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that's good for the lobster. No, but I mean, it doesn't taste as good if you freeze it for 8 days, does it? Anyway, we ate it in one day. I thought it was very – and that's all we got.
That's all you got? Yeah, I – well, you know, at some point, it's just like, aren't you, like, just moving money around?
Right, I mean, but here's what we'll here's what Lisa and I decided we would have done. Okay, so let's say we saved him 100 grand, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what we saved him. We never did the math. But let's say we saved him 100 grand.
Okay.
If they would have given us 5%, okay, if they would have said, hey, you guys did us a tremendous favor. We never had to put our house on the market. We didn't have to pay commissions for either our agent or their agent. Here's 5K. What we decided we would have done is kick it to the new neighbors.
In other words, they give you 5K and then you give it to the people that bought the house?
Right.
Please won't you be.
Because we thought that would be really cool, a really cool thing to do. Say, hey, look, I know you guys paid full price for this. We didn't expect any money. We just did it as a courtesy. So here you go. But we didn't get that money, so we never did it.
Yeah. You got lobster.
And that's all we got.
You know,
although,
last time.
There was corn on the cob in that cooler, too.
Last time somebody sent me something was one of them fruit bouquets.
Yeah.
Those are stupid.
I got one of those too.
I don't need a fruit bouquet.
Did we make someone mad or did someone was someone? Why did we get those?
I can't remember. I think they pissed me off, and then they sent me
as an appeasement.
Bouquet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fruit bouquets are stupid. I don't know. Are they an advertiser? I don't know.
No, I don't think they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the problem with those is you got to eat them all right away.
Right away. Right away.
Or the fruit goes bad.
All right. Coming up next. A little taunting call last night.
I hated that call.
We will get into that coming up. I actually think somebody should be suspended. I'll tell you who. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or bust in Manhattan Beach in the gated
this
community.
Week we're getting somebody's sending a food truck over here. We're hosting a party for somebody. Because we can do it outside.
Aren't you allowed to say?
I'm not. No.
Oh, okay.
Because
I know
of,
who it is.
Okay, yeah, but there's a lot of people, including you, that didn't make the list.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't get invited. I'm surprised.
Yeah, you didn't because there's a limit because of COVID.
I really gave this kid a boost in his career.
So I'm afraid if I mention it, they'll be like, everybody gets offended by everything now, including NFL referees, by the way.
Yeah, okay, so last night, taunting call on Cassius Marsh. He came up with a big sack. He did this, did you see the great big, like, freestyle Cobra Kai karate kick roundhouse
he did? He's been doing it his whole career.
So he does that, which is totally fine. Celebrating, totally cool with. But then he starts walking over toward the Steeler bench, and that's when he got the taunting flag.
Well, you left out the part about the referee hip-checking.
Referee Tony Corrente threw an elbow and a hip at Cassius Marsh when he was trotting toward the Bears bench last night. And I think Corrente should be suspended for that. You can't throw a hip at an NFL player as he's running towards his bench.
Well, I would have no problem if that whole officiating crew got suspended for a couple of weeks. They made about 5 horrible calls last night.
Officiating's been terrible. The officiating during the Rams game was terrible on Sunday night.
Right, but last night was exceptionally bad. And I think this taunting rule is stupid. I understand that they called it by the letter of the rule. They should change the rule. I mean, why are we not letting guys celebrate when they do good
things on the field?
Wait a
minute. He did a gigantic karate kick. That's the celebration. He doesn't need to then approach the punter or whoever on the Steelers to rub it in. That is by definition taunting.
Right.
You're allowed to celebrate.
I hate that. And I mean, unless somebody's physically beating somebody up, let them celebrate. Who cares?
Yeah,
you want to hit them with a delay of game, go ahead.
I'm the guy that understands the taunting rule. I'm okay with it.
You're in favor of no fun.
He did the big roundhouse kick. That's the fun. You don't need to then approach the other team and taunt them directly. It's not necessary. You just did your dance. You just did your karate kick. Just did your Cobra Kai move.
There's nothing wrong with celebrating. But by the way,
that's not celebrating. There's a difference between celebrating and taunting. Celebrating is doing your big karate kick.
Yeah.
Taunting is when you approach the other team.
Yeah, but what did he do? He just walked that way and then turned around and went
back
the other way.
And was clearly jawing at him.
So what? Last week, Cliff Kingsbury got into it with Josh Norman, and who cares? It's good for the game. It's like wrestling.
It's not like wrestling, though.
Why?
Wrestling's fake.
Right, but it's fun.
It's scripted.
The reason people like wrestling is because it's fun.
It's fake.
You want to legislate all the fun out of football? Go
no,
ahead. You're no,
no
fun.
Wrestling is not real.
Return to your bench in an orderly manner.
That's
do not
scripted
do a kick.
Taunting.
Do not walk towards the Steelers bench. Foul penalty for walking towards the Steelers bench and taunting them. Foul 15 yards.
What is wrong with you?
I have no issue.
That voice.
I have no issue. Yeah, well, we both kind of do it. Yeah, $2,500 part. we're both throwing that voice at
each
other.
We're with the nerd voices in full effect.
Nerd voice. Yeah, I mean, they did call it by the letter of the rule. Now, Tony Corrente should be suspended. You can't elbow and hip an NFL player when he's headed towards
the bench.
I think
he's suspended because he's a bad ref.
Well, no, shouldn't he be suspended for throwing a hip at an NFL player when he's running towards his bench?
Whatever gets him, whatever loses his whistle, I'm in favor of.
I've never seen a ref throw a hip at an NFL player.
Yeah, he says it was an accident.
Yeah, you can't stick your hip out and call it an accident. Wasn't an accident. It was for real. All right, so I want to get to this because it's very applicable to what we do here and the position John is in on a regular basis. So Arizona State has had a broadcaster named Jordan Simone.
Okay.
He went on to a podcast, and again, this is – so Herm Edwards is the head coach at Arizona State. I think they're 5-3, and Herm is – a couple of games over 500 in his run there at Arizona State. I want you to listen to what he said that got him fired. Jorge?
It ain't working. It was a good experiment. And you know what? No disrespect to any of those coaches as men and as people, because I've talked to a lot of them. I know a lot of them. They're good people and good human beings, but it just ain't working. And so the fans deserve better. Now, these players deserve better. These players don't even realize that they're being coached so poorly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I'm a Sun Devil to the day I die. I love this university and I love this football program more than almost anything in my life. There's, you know, a certain amount of things I can count on one hand that I would, you know, really would die for. Sun Devil football's up there. But it's bad right now. It's not what the fans deserve. It's not what we as alumni deserve, specific football alumni. We talked about the 96 Rose Bowl team being there. It was a disgrace and a disservice to all the players and an alumni that have come before them.
So is that fireable? In other words, if you're a broadcaster for a program, and apparently he was like the sideline guy
right.
for the Arizona State broadcast, is that fireable? Because they did can him after that.
Yeah, very much so. Now, if he was not being paid by the team.
Right.
If he was just giving an opinion as somebody who is from Arizona State, who loves Arizona State, certainly sounds like he does, then totally in bounds. But, and I say this from someone who's been in this position with multiple teams.
Yeah.
If you're working for the team, you can't go as far as he did and expect to have your job when you're done.
Where's the line?
You can't call for people to be fired.
he never specifically called for anybody to be fired. He says it's a mess right now.
No, he said these kids don't even know how poorly they're being coached, and these are good men, good people, but it's just not working. How is that not calling for him to be fired? What other conclusion?
So, in other
words,
if you work for a team, you can't tell the truth.
Well, you can't go as far as he did. Like, the one thing that's good about my current job, the Laker job, is Chick Hearn gave all the guys who followed him, because Chick was a Hall of Fame guy, the license to tell the truth while you're doing the game. You could say that was a horrible pass, or Michael does it all the time. He'll say, "Why doesn't Anthony Davis get his butt in the post? It would be so much more effective if he did that." But if Michael or I, or Billy or Stu or anybody, went on a podcast and said, these coaches are no good, they're nice guys, but they're just not good at their jobs, and these players don't even know how badly they're being coached, we wouldn't have a job when that was over.
What if it's even, let's just hypothetical, what if it's true? You still can't say it.
Right. Well, not if you work for the team. No way. I mean, as long as you don't care if you don't have a job when you come back. I mean, it's just, if the team is paying you, they don't want to hear you calling for people's heads while you're on their payroll. You can't go that far.
So I got in trouble for this years ago. I did the USC pregame show for USC for 10 years. And when Clay Helton was the coach, when he was first hired by Pat Hayden, and we were like maybe 1 year into Clay Helton, I wrote a Facebook post about how there needed to be changes.
Did you call for someone's job?
I said, the program's not going in the right direction. I don't know if this is the right guy for this job, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the exact post. But I do remember when I went in to interview Pat Hayden, which I do every single week while I was doing that job, he had printed it out and put it in front of me and said, what's this? And I said, well, I was just speaking my mind. Now, I didn't lose my job, but I suppose I could have. Is that what you're saying?
Had you kept going down that road on a regular basis, you would no longer be paid by the team to do work. Now, you would still have your job at ESPN, and you'd have your show.
Oh yeah.
And you could write whatever you want on your Facebook, but they're not gonna tell. I mean, almost every team I've ever been around is not gonna tolerate someone on their payroll calling for fellow employees to be fired. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Pat Hayden forgave me apparently for that, because I continued for another 2 years in that gig.
Well, you turned out to eventually be right.
And you know what? And here's the truth. And people pointed this out. When I was working for USC, I was a bit of a shill.
Right. Well, I think everybody's local broadcaster, team employees, they want you to be supportive. Now, if you come in and you're like a national broadcaster, like when you were doing the Olympics for NBC, you probably could have had a little leeway. But even then, Mace, if you would have said, hey, who was the guy that won the gold medal? Jim Shea, this guy running the bobsled here, we'd be better off finding somebody faster than him. The United States can do better than this. Well, I think that if you said that, even on a Facebook post, you would no longer be doing Olympic bobsled. But what do you think?
I think I probably could have gotten away. I mean, first of all, it's a weird piece of criticism. If I would have said, look, there was a
rules you're just
violation.
Saying that we can do better than this, like what you did with Helton.
Yeah, I think I would have kept my job in that case. I'm working for NBC.
National guys have a little more rope.
Yeah, I'm not working for Team USA.
Yeah.
So I think I could get away with it. But it does. Jorge, do you have my bobsled call? Because I always love when we play my bobsled call.
This is an excellent call, if you can find it. The thing that I like about it is, and be honest about this.
Yes.
Was it multiple takes?
No. I was calling that live.
Because in the Olympics, you're normally allowed multiple takes.
Yeah, no, I was at the track.
This sounds
calling that
very
live.
Much like it was in the moment. So I was going to actually compliment you if it was like take five or six. You did a very good job of sounding like it was take one.
Yeah,
but
no,
this was take one.
It was absolutely take one. I was calling this live. I was pretty much at the top of my game doing the sliding sports at the Olympics in Salt Lake City in 2002. Do you have it, Jorge? No. We'll try to get it.
We got it.
Okay, we got it.
Falling back to third. Jim Shea of the United States oscillating too much in these turns. Jim Shea of the United States back
There's
in
criticism.
The second, trailing by only 1/100th of a second through turn number 15. Jim Shea, can he pick up enough speed? Yes, he does. 51.07, Jim Shea of the United States was ragged, but he has won the gold medal in the men's skeleton. His father is celebrating.
Now,
God, that was fun.
That was an excellent call, but here's the weird thing. You criticized him twice, and he won the gold medal.
Right.
You said
no,
he's
but he
oscillating
loves, he...
too much in these turns, and what did you call him, ragged?
Ragged, but he won. Yeah,
but
no,
he
was
obviously
a...
he wasn't too ragged, and he wasn't oscillating too much because he beat everyone else.
But it wasn't a clean trip. That's all I was saying. It wasn't a clean trip. He had issues. It was like Franz Klammer.
Please.
Franz Klammer almost fell and then won the downhill. It was like that. He was racing, but he oscillated through those turns. I invented all that, by the way. I did oscillating through the turns. I have no idea what that even means. All right, coming up next, we had Odell Beckham Jr. News Plus. There was an incident at the Rams-Titans game Sunday night.
I just watched it again.
It's shocking.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and by the way, it's 21 plus. There will be live music, a beer garden, an exclusive bastard menu, and craft cocktail bar, Marine Corps cake cutting ceremony, and more. They're shutting down the streets between. It's on Downey Avenue between 2nd and 3rd, and hope to see you guys out there. Bergman, you're getting your racing stripe tomorrow, right?
I mean,
wait a minute. Dude,
I have tape where he says, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I probably will, but you know, it takes like 4 months.
What do you mean, I probably will?
Well, you know, it takes 4 months for it to grow back.
That's all right. You'll look cool in the meantime.
Yeah.
You
don't leave your house.
Cool.
Mace, you don't leave your house. I actually leave my house.
Wait a minute. I am fighting to leave my house every single day. I'm
Except you don't.
A good fight. I want to go to the studio every day.
I know you do, and we'd love to have you here, but you going to your, you know, to Starbucks is not going out of the house.
I'm going to Bastard's Canteen tomorrow.
We'll see.
All right.
Yeah, I'll do it. All right, it's there. You ready?
Okay, there.
I'll do it.
By the way, we got a bet on Bergman and his Peloton. Now, Bergman.
Yeah, Bergman, how's that going?
So
the
I have
is
done.
You've got to ride it 18 times in the month of November, right?
Yes, 18. So this is the question that I had for you because right now I've done 5 out of 9 days, so I'm doing pretty well. I went on it this morning.
Well.
Yeah, I went on it this morning before I came into work. Now. If I go on it tonight, does that count as one of the 18 times, or does it have to be separate days?
Separate days.
So it does have to be separate days.
Yeah.
Oh,
then I'm
yeah.
not going on it tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get. Yeah. Once you do it, you can't get double credit.
Okay. So
yeah,
well, that's what I mean. If it's 18 times, then it doesn't matter the days. If it's
18 days.
No, it's 18 days.
18 days. Okay.
18 yeah. days.
Just want to be clear about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Then
no,
yes. 5 out of 9 days, I've gone every other day since the first.
In Ireland, there is a did you see the text? There is an actual physical digital record of the number of times he goes on it.
Okay.
So it's provable if he rides it 18 times. And how much mythical money do you have on that?
$25,000 on it.
There's nothing like mythical money to get you to do something.
Well, that's why I'm doing it, is for the mythical
there
money.
There you go. See, so mythical money is motivating, I'm telling
you. It is motivating.
I also don't want to give it to Amanda. No offense, Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You would have to give away your Peloton. So the Rams lost on Sunday night at SoFi Stadium. They lost 28-16 to Tennessee. And it was a rough night for the Rams all the way around. There were some Tennessee fans there. They generally put the opposing fans in the end zone, which is, for me, to the right when you're sitting on the Rams sideline. So there were some Tennessee fans there. And a fight broke out that was so friggin' brutal. Like, whoever was fighting for the Rams just dropped two guys like a bag of rocks.
Well, okay, and there's a couple of things going on here. Number one, there are probably 50 people around these people that are fighting with their phones filming it. So if you're one of these people that goes to sporting events and, you know, gets in fights, your days are numbered because there's video evidence. And this guy in particular, the guy who dropped the two fans, has a Rams jersey with his own name on the back. It's got a number one and it says Rivera. So my guess is the Rams are going to find this guy. Okay. And he's
boy,
gonna,
that is dumb. If you've got your own name on the back of the jersey
and he drops these two guys, like you say, right away. But I mean, isn't that because it's on tape and because it's in a public place and because he punches these guys right in the face, isn't that, I mean, I don't know what determines degrees, but it's some degree of assault. It, I mean, is it felony assault? Is it first degree? I mean, he literally just drops these two. I don't, one of them, I wonder if he ever got up.
Oh, the one guy goes face down and then slides down the steps face down.
By the way, what do you guys think about this? Are these fights that have always happened at football games over the years and we just didn't have everybody with camera phones, so we didn't know about it? Or are these fights more common now? Are they happening more often?
It's a very good question. I almost think the fact that there are cameras makes them, is it possible, makes them more likely to happen?
Well, do you want to go to jail?
Look at me. Look what I can do.
Yeah, but you're like that, and you're not punching people at football games.
I'm not capable of knocking guys out like
that. Right,
but
you're look at me, look at me, look at me. You don't exercise that particular need of yours through violence. I don't get that connection.
God, I just tweeted out a link to the video. That guy is really brutal. He is he is badass.
And but by the way, after he drops the first guy and he slides all the way down the stairs, why did the second guy go in?
Yeah, why did the second guy say,
he knows
okay,
how that
I
movie ends, and then he gets dropped.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, I wonder if this is an isolated incident at SoFi Stadium. In my experience, it is. I assume it's isolated.
Oh, we should open the phones for this because I've heard from a lot of people that says this is going on. It's something that started at the Coliseum and it has made its way to SoFi, that there are more and more fights in the stands. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mace, my guess is because you are in the nice seats, you're in the good seats, you've probably priced yourself out of the fighting zone.
Although I'll tell you what, there was a drunken idiot like two rows behind me who literally pulled a seat out of the row.
Now,
what are you doing, man? He pulled the seat out of the row.
I would imagine that is somewhere on tape, right? Somebody got video of that?
Yeah, I mean, he was so friggin' drunk. So like, I don't understand. I understand drinking, and I understand partying, and I know, you know, you want a few tall boys to end the game and all that stuff. You want a Michelada and have a good time. But there is a limit to the amount of drunkenness. Once you're pulling a chair out of the cement, You've gone too far. And, you know, here's the thing. I didn't know what to do at that point. Like, once you see somebody pull the chair out of the cement,
well, you know,
are
what
you
they,
supposed to call somebody somebody? Or
the rule at most stadiums and arenas is if you see something, say something.
Right.
Say something to one of the ushers. Particularly if it's getting violent or if it's getting
there's
ugly.
Destruction of property.
Yeah. I don't think you'd be wrong to do that.
So think people are pulling things out of the ground, but they're not fighting anywhere else except for that one isolated incident.
I'm curious. How prevalent are fights at SoFi Stadium during Rams games?
I mean, hey, here's a
tweet from Gino. Guys, these fights have always happened. It's why so many people hated attending Dodger games in certain sections. I only take my wife to college football and baseball games in higher price seats. So maybe this is something that has been going on, but we've just not noticed it.
So how common are fights at SoFi Stadium during Rams games? I'm assuming there's no fights during Chargers games.
Maybe
during a Chargers game. The Chargers fans are outnumbered, so that may piss some people off. How prevalent are they, and what do you do when you see one? I'll tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not jumping in when that guy's throwing punches.
When that guy with the number one jersey was out.
You're on your own. If you want to jump in and see that guy, good luck. Good luck. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, don't forget, I'm going to tell a lie today. And I haven't told it yet. I'll tell you right up front, I have not told the lie yet. But if you can identify the lie today at 3:30, we've got a big award show coming up that we're going to be doing in February, right before the Super Bowl. And we're going to have an awards category, Producer of the Year. And Jorge Briones, our Jorge Briones, hey, is campaigning openly
for, Jorge.
For the for award. Jorge. So you can win the last Vote for Jorge t-shirt. It is one of one.
Well, by the way, Mace, have you heard who wants a Vote for Jorge t-shirt?
Oh, yeah. And I talked to him yesterday. Hold on.
You did? You talked to him about it? Mace, do you know who it is?
Well, I know Pepe Mantilla asked me for one.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
Pepe heard a rumor. He comes up to me last night. He says, is Mason coming tonight? And I said, no. He said he was. I said, no. He goes, is Jorge coming? He said he was. I said, well, if Jorge said he's coming, he's coming. By the way, Jorge.
Yeah.
Your wife is beautiful,
oh,
man.
Thank you, John.
I mean, seriously, that's the first time I've met her. You way outkicked your coverage. Good for you,
second,
man.
That's the second or third time you meet her.
Wait, where else did I meet her?
when I used to
Mason
work
with, syndrome.
When I used to work with you in the Laker games, man, you met her like twice.
Oh, when she came over, yeah. When I'm doing that, I'm like all knee deep in.
No, I understand.
Game.
I understand.
Yeah.
But thank you, man.
Brenda is her name, right?
Yeah, Brenda.
Yeah. Wow, really pretty.
All right, coming up next for you, Wheel of Questions, plus we'll get some of your calls in. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Vote for Jorge.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Easy on me, baby. I was just a child, didn't know the world around me. So this is the last song I listen to when I'm riding my bike this morning and exercising. It's the last song in the mix. And what right. I'm praying for is it for Adele to release another friggin' song.
Well, if you don't, you know, it'll be about lost love and how forlorn she is.
She's already working on songs about Rich Paul.
Yeah, he's although they seemed really happy when they
were.
Well,
sure, but I mean, so did Adele and her last husband.
Yeah, Adele doesn't do songs about when she's happy. She only sings songs about when
now,
she's
now, supposedly
sad.
The rest of the songs on the album are not depressing.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
I want to go see Adele in concert. I've never seen her. Have you?
Lisa has. I haven't.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. All right, time for Wheel of Questions. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Jorge, let's give her a spin.
I don't think we've ever talked about this.
Hmm.
When you have questions about your life, have you ever consulted a palm reader or fortune teller?
Oh.
And would you, Bergman?
So I did one time because I was out on a date and that's what she wanted to do.
That was the date?
That was the date. She actually wanted,
that's
that was what
flag.
She wanted to, well, it didn't last much longer than that. But
what
yeah,
do you
want
to do on our date? I want to go to a mystic, a palm reader.
Oh, the palm reader was so wrong too. They were telling me like, oh, you're going to have two more kids and you guys are going to be together forever. It was not what happened.
Jorge?
No, I would never do it. And I'll stay away from that stuff.
Mace, how about you?
I actually got it as a birthday present from one of my exes. That was
Did you
part
go?
Of the birthday present.
Was
yes, we went.
Was it a palm read or was it a fortune teller?
It was one with a glass orb sort of thing, right? And she did hold her hands up. And I won't say the name of my ex, but one of the questions he asked is, you know, will Steve and I be happy together? And her answer was, yes, you will be happy together. You are meant to be with each something
right.
along those lines. And we broke up 2 months later.
Yeah, that's how those stories normally end. I used to work with a girl in San Diego, super attractive. She was married. And she really believed in this stuff. So she would go to a fortune teller. And one day the fortune teller told her, she said, how many kids am I going to have with Rob, who is her husband?
Mm-hmm.
And the fortune teller told her, you're not going to be married to Rob forever.
Wow.
And she goes, really?
That's a terrible thing to put in somebody's head.
And I don't know if it was foreshadowing or whatever, but 2 years later, they got divorced. But this girl kept going back to, like, she really believed in that stuff, in, like, fortune tellers. And I'll tell you, we've had, like, remember we used to have Kenny Kingston on the show?
Oh, Kenny Kingston, sweet spirit.
And he did stuff that was pretty unexplainable. Like, he was able to do stuff that you thought, okay, there's something to this. But I've never really believed it. And the weirdest aspect of this is my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, my mom's dad, was the smartest guy I ever knew. Just like, if I ever needed advice on anything, he lived until he was 90. If I ever needed advice on anything, I'd call him. And he was really grounded, super smart, started his own company, made a ton of money. And so my grandmother, his wife, passed away. And every day, without fail, he would watch that TV show with that guy, John Edwards.
Yeah, John Edwards.
Who claimed that he could talk to people from beyond. And because he was convinced that John Edward could talk to his wife. And I thought, oh, he's lost it. He's like lost his marbles. But that was the only weird thing about him. And then he passed away. And I have no idea if there was anything to do, but he believed it. Do you believe it? Do you believe in like afterlife, like in the Whoopi Goldberg ghost thing? Do you believe
I do believe in afterlife.
Do you believe we can communicate beyond the grave with people?
I do feel that there are times when I am very connected to my grandfather, my grandmother, my dad. I feel as though a lot of the time they are here in some way. Does that make sense?
No. And when I don't mean no, like to be mean, I've never had that. I've like it never. But the guy I have more respect for than anybody, the person I was closest to in my family, my grandfather, was like you. Believed that you could use people on Earth to communicate with people that had already left.
Is that what happened with that one dude or girl that used to email you, like Betts?
Oh, that girl from St. Louis?
Dora?
Dora.
Dora, yeah.
Is that what this is about, Dora?
Well, Dora, we've not heard from. I think you offended Dora. Dora was
We didn't offend Dora. We outed you as
no,
Dora.
No, you questioned her actual existence. Dora the medium.
Yeah, you were Dora the medium.
I was not Dora the medium. We should get an actual medium. Bergman.
Oh, see, you just said it. You just said it. We should get an actual medium because Dora wasn't a medium.
If you are a medium.
True story. You guys remember Mark Willard who used to work with us?
Yes.
His wife, Jill, is a medium. Completely believes it. When you ask Mark or Jill about it, she's super nice. When you ask Mark or Jill about it and you question it, they just look at you and say, well, you don't get it.
Like, see, I get it with Jill. I do think Jill has an ability that goes beyond the rest of us.
And she might come on. I don't know if she would. Mark's doing talk radio in San Francisco now.
Yeah.
But
there's got to be somebody like with one of those storefront. There's one right by the car wash across the street from the East Garage at Staples Center, right?
Well, Bergman, there you go. Go knock on the door of the fortune teller and find out what's going on over there.
Yeah, go over there, knock on the door.
To you that's going around?
Guys, I drive by there every day, and there's a line of at least 8 people.
No way. Really?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I know what you're talking about. I know where that place is. I drive by there every time I come in here.
Stick your head in there and see if that person would be willing to come on.
All right. We just want to talk. They don't have to pick games or anything. We just want to talk to them.
Yeah, we will ask them about us.
All right.
Are you going to do it, or is this going to be one of those things that slides?
No, no. Oh, you want to talk about sliding? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Wait a minute. What do I slide on? Like, I'm in on everything.
I'm staying for the whole game, and I'm not leaving early as he walks out the door at halftime.
I'm honest about that.
Yeah.
I'm honest about it. Jorge, are you actually going to stick your head into that place and see if that woman will come? I assume it's a woman. That woman will come on the air with us.
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow.
Okay, good.
I'll stop by
good.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
yeah. It's so weird if you come to a if
by
you come
the way, Jorge,
to a Lakers
I'm coming
game.
In, I'm coming in there tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I can't go to Bastard's Canteen, but I'm going to do the show from studio, so I'll see you in there tomorrow.
All right, you got it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Bastard's Canteen, which is a veteran-owned and operated restaurant, has the biggest event of the year returning to downtown Downey. It is celebrating our Marines, our veterans, and our community. And, John, over the years, we've actually done a bunch of shows in honor of Veterans Day, in honor of our veterans and our active military people. We did two shows actually from the VA in Westwood. We also brought veterans in to co-host
I loved
the
that
show.
That was one of my favorite shows we ever did.
On Veterans Day, it was fantastic. So this is another opportunity. It is the 246th Marine Corps Birthday and Veterans Day Bash tomorrow at Bastard's Canteen. We're going to be live from 12:55 until 4 o'clock. Then Sedano and Cap are going to be on from 4:55 to 5:30. Is that right? 3:55 to 5:30. It is on Downey Avenue. They're shutting down Downey Avenue between 2nd and 3rd. There's a beer garden. There's live music. There's all kinds of stuff. We want you to come out and celebrate our Marines, our veterans, our active service people
speaking
tomorrow at Bastard's Canteen in Downey.
Okay, speaking of which, by the way, Mace, you got Jacob coming up. But speaking of Veterans Day, I got a note from Lou Riley, who was one of our veterans who came in and kind of killed it on the air with us. He was great. He says, John, why didn't even one NFL TV announcer explain why the majority of coaches were wearing military jerseys this weekend? Many viewers must have wondered. And I assume Lou knows this, but Mace, that was for Veterans Day, right?
Yeah, that was in honor of Veterans Day, yeah.
Right, but I thought some of that stuff looked really cool.
I saw the Fox pregame show. I think Kurt Menefee and those guys, I think they were at the Naval Academy.
They were.
They did their pregame
postgame.
Yeah,
I love that they do that. I love that they do that. They go every year. They've gone all over the world. They've done shows. I think they did a show once from Beirut.
Wow.
Jay Glazer was on last week talking about it. That's one thing Fox has been really good with is honoring the military and honoring veterans and taking that show all over the world. So good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Coming up next for you. First, I should mention this is I teased it before. Odell Beckham Jr. has cleared waivers. And reportedly, he is going to take his time in choosing his next destination. I think he wants both a team that is in the playoff chase, a team that can win a championship, plus a place where he can get his hands on the ball a lot. Jordan Schultz, who is a sports guy, says that Beckham Jr. has prioritized the Packers as his number one destination now that he's cleared waivers. So the Packers, I would think Seattle is in the mix.
Do you think the Rams are in it? Dan Graziano this morning on Get Up said he thinks the Rams are in it.
Okay, let's do that coming up next for you. Plus some bold MLB free agent predictions have come across from MLB Network. We got that coming up for you too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.